Welcome to the Declutter Your Life Teleseminar Series. I'm Maureen Twerpy, the Declutter Coach, Professional Organizer. Today I'm interviewing Hazel Thornton about making time to declutter. Hazel helps her residential and home office clients get organized for life in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where she co-founded PONM, that's the Professional Organizers of New Mexico. She's traveled several educational paths, first earning a degree in mechanical engineering, then one in fine arts, and then another in drafting. Hazel drew from this background to create the Clutter Flow Chart Collection. These visual aids, which help in the decluttering process, are available for personal use and can also be custom branded for use with your own clients and prospects. There are now 15 different charts to choose from, available at http://org4life.com. That's O-R-G, the number 4, life.com. As well as a workbook titled Go With The Flow, the Clutter Clearing Tool for an Organized Life. This session will answer the following questions. What is clutter? How can decluttering help me live the life I want to live? How can I make time for decluttering? How can I avoid getting overwhelmed by my to-do list? And what 3 steps can I take now to get started? And also, how can I get my free original clutter flow chart? Welcome, Hazel.
Hi, Maureen.
I am so impressed by all that education and how you've worked the principles into what you're doing today. No wonder your clutter flow charts are so popular.
Well, I'm hoping that a few more people will learn about them today.
I know they will. So about those clutter flow charts, I know how important decluttering is to you. So can you tell us how you define clutter?
I believe that clutter is anything that gets in the way of the life you want to live. It says on my website, I believe that clutter takes many forms, little things like paper, big things like furniture, negative thoughts, and unfulfilling activities.
Why do you think it's important for us to declutter our lives?
Because I believe clutter weighs us down. It weighs us down physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And I believe that everyone deserves to feel lighter. That's why I have the logo of the egret taking flight. It represents the freedom that comes from rising above one's clutter and getting organized for life.
Oh, that's what the egret means. I wondered.
Yeah.
So then what does freedom from clutter have to do with time management?
Well, when I first started as an organizer, you know, I offered different services, including hands-on sessions where we organize the client's stuff and their spaces. And I also offered time management consulting and coaching. But I always thought of them as 2 different things. If you didn't hire me for time management, you weren't going to get time management. But the longer I worked with clients, the more I saw that every organizing project comes down to a time management component in the end. You know, we can declutter and create systems and make it look pretty, but it really takes a change in habits and time, regular time, to maintain a new organizing system.
Mm-hmm. So what time management system do you use?
I use a system that I created that includes elements from various sources that you've heard of. I've been influenced by Julie Morgenstern and David Allen and Stephen Covey, but I've also added elements of my own. It's not a proprietary system that I, you know, teach that is prescribed and everyone needs to do it this way. It's a program for helping my clients think through their goals and their priorities and implement the changes in their lives. When I'm working with a client, the key is to figure out what motivates them and how they operate and to work with their existing skills if possible. I really try not to turn them into someone else. I try to, you know, work with their existing skills.
That's wise because turning them into somebody else isn't going to last long. They'll always revert to who they are.
Right.
So could you give me an example of what you just mentioned a minute ago?
Well, one example is, you know, a lot of my clients aren't very tech savvy. and they still use a paper calendar. And I don't mind that a bit. I don't try to get them to go electronic if they're not ready to. But I might suggest a different paper calendar or a larger one or to locate it in a different place or to at least consolidate to one paper calendar. And if they are using a smartphone and they are a little bit electronically inclined, I might suggest a to-do list app for them to try.
What's your favorite to-do? Okay. What's your favorite to-do app?
Well, I've tried a bunch of them, but my current favorite is called Workflowy. And it's just really easy to use, and it's free. And you can have major categories. I like to have my clients define their major categories in life. Mine are work, home, self, and others. But theirs can be whatever they want. And you can have as many subcategories as you like. I use Workflowy as a master to-do list. I don't refer to it every day.
Mm-hmm. You know, I signed up for Workflowy before our calls, so I can check it out. And it looks really easy to use, kind of like a brain dump.
It is like a brain dump, and it is really easy to use. It's the easiest one that I've run across that does what I need it to do.
Well, what's important to me is that it works on PC.
Yeah, and you can also... well, they've changed it. They've added a few things. I forget if you have to pay now a small fee to have it. You don't have to access the Internet to use it, but that's another benefit.
I didn't see – I wasn't asked for a fee when I signed up, and I got an email this morning asking me what was on my mind today. So I guess it was looking for me to add something to it.
And they also have – what they have now is a bunch of little how-to videos that are really fun, too.
Yes, I went through a couple of them, and they were very helpful. So for our listeners, just simply Google Workflowy, that's W-O-R-K, just the way the word sounds, and Flowy is F-L-O-W-Y, and then watch the instructional videos, and I'm sure you'll love it. So we can... back up for a sec to the master to-do list. What is that?
Well, many of my clients are totally overwhelmed with their to-do list, and that's because they're so long and they can never finish everything on them. And so what I recommend is that they have a master to-do list that they only refer to maybe once a week. I encourage them to write down as many of their tasks and projects and ideas as possible. You know, and it doesn't matter whether it's an electronic list or a pen and paper list. But you mentioned mind dump a minute ago. This frees their mind to be present and to enjoy the task or activity that they're involved with without worrying that they'll forget something. They try to do too much in a day, and they get stressed out because they never finish what's on their to-do list. But then I also recommend that they have a daily to-do list of only 3 to 5 really doable things. That way they experience a sense of accomplishment every single day.
Mm-hmm. That does make sense. So then the daily to-do list gives a sense of accomplishment, but still the master to-do list never gets finished.
No, and if you think of it as something that you need to finish, then you're always going to be frustrated. But if you think of it as a living document that is supposed to be long and is supposed to be changing all the time, it's less concerning than if you think you're supposed to finish it. The only problem with a master to-do list is if you never look at the list. So I coach my clients to have a planning session with themselves once a week to review the list and to choose which tasks and activities they want to schedule on their calendars. Another thing that I tell them is that they don't have to do everything on the list. It's just a list of ideas. It's just as important to the way they can either do the item or they can delegate it or they can dump it from the list altogether. And it's just as important to figure out what you're not going to do after all as it is to figure out what you're going to do.
So it's more a place to park the ideas than it is to actually have a list of things that you really are going to do at some point.
Yes, it's like any good system. It needs to be constantly reevaluated, and it's okay if you think of it that way. If you think I have to do all these things, then you're going to constantly be frustrated. If you think, you know what, I don't have to do that one after all, then that's just as important to me to get things off your list that way as to actually do them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So aren't your clients a little overwhelmed when they're deciding what to do and what not to do?
Yes. they are overwhelmed. And that's why they call me, and it can be difficult. I like to start them with an initial consultation, which consists of exercises to help them clarify their goals and priorities. Once they have their goals and priorities clearly defined, it becomes much easier to choose the tasks and activities that support them. It also makes it easier to say no to the tasks and activities that do not support them. So it's a decision-making tool, but you need to be clear on your goals and priorities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So back to clearing clutter, what are your time management strategies for that?
Well, I already mentioned that any good organizing system needs periodic review or maintenance. Maintenance is the word here. And that requires dedicated time. It doesn't have to be a lot of time, and it's much easier to devote a bit of time on a regular basis than to let things pile up to the point where you would take hours to deal with them. I like to use the examples of your lawn. Not a lot of people in New Mexico have lawns, but other people do. I do. But you don't let it grow all summer and then spend 12 hours mowing it if you want to be able to enjoy your yard on a daily basis, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you spend half an hour once a week so that you can enjoy it on a daily basis. And I also like to use the example of brushing your teeth every day. If you do that for a couple of minutes, you can prevent cavities, but it doesn't work if you only brush your teeth once a week, even if you do it for an hour. So it's about establishing a routine for maintaining your system.
You know, routines are so important in so many ways. Can you give me some examples of clutter clearing routine?
Well, one example is, let's say you have a family. You can do a 10-minute tidy up before or after dinner. As an example, it's fun if you're all doing it at the same time, and then when you're done, you can relax with the family. The spots that I recommend clearing are sometimes referred to as hot spots, where clutter tends to collect. And examples of that are the kitchen counter, and the dining room table, and the living room floor, other common areas. And the trick is to have designated homes for everything, homes that are large enough and clearly defined and easily accessed so that everyone, including the kids, they know where to put things away. And they don't have to wonder, you know, what does cleaning up mean? It means, I know where to put this. I'm going to put it there now.
And then to empty those places periodically to get rid of the extra magazines and newspapers and whatnot.
Well, exactly. I have something that I say probably more often than anything else is, don't let your containers overflow. If you have a regular system for going through the magazines and keeping it to a happy minimum, great. But if you don't have a routine, it's okay. You just don't let your container overflow. Mm-hmm. And when it threatens to overflow, that's your signal to get rid of the old ones and maintain that system.
Mm-hmm. So
not just magazines, everything.
Yeah.
In your closet, you know, there's no end to examples of that.
Well, I guess space is finite, so it can only hold what it can hold, and any more than that is overflow.
Right, exactly. Now, you can, that is also an opportunity to rethink your containers. You know, it's possible that you do need a larger container, or you need to put it in a different location, or you need to label it, or you need to make it something that does not have a lid on it. But if the system's working and you can maintain it, then just do so. You don't have to rethink everything every time, but sometimes things do need to be rethought.
So it's getting the system set up and following them.
Yeah.
And
reviewing them.
And then what?
And reviewing them and maintaining them.
Right. So what if you have more to declutter than just the kitchen counter and the other area hotspots?
Well, I do have clients who, you know, when I first meet with them, they have a big backlog. It's like they have the whole garage is full of stuff, or the whole spare room, people have been shoving things in there. And so it does take more than, you know, a few minutes to address that. But if you have a backlog of stuff that needs sorting and purging and organizing, if you can plan to spend 15 minutes a day or an hour a day, whatever you can devote to the project, if you know how to do it, then if you do that until it's finished, then you can use that time to do something else when you're finished. So I don't expect you to. It would be overwhelming to think you have to do a whole room in one sitting, even with professional help, depending on the room. But the little chunks of time are more likely to happen if you actually schedule yourself some time on your calendar. So I also have clients get out their calendars and say, okay, how much time can you devote this to this, and when are you going to do it? And if you think of that as making appointments with yourself that are every bit as important as appointments with others, then you have a better chance of getting it done. I also like my clients to remind themselves, or I remind them, of what they said they actually wanted to use the space for and how that fits into their goals and priorities as an incentive to actually keep at it.
Mm-hmm. And then once everything is organized, it's easier to maintain.
Oh, so much easier. Exactly, exactly.
Mm-hmm. I find that that's the sticking point with some of my clients, is they don't get that it's not organized once and for all, that it does require maintenance and that requires effort. And backsliding is just so common. Do you run into that?
Oh, totally. I like to say that organizing is a process, not an event. And mm-hmm. the people who get that, I mean, I say it on my website somewhere, but it's like, if you understand that, then you might be my ideal client. If that doesn't make sense to you, you might not be my ideal client.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember, what else did you say?
Oh, I was just thinking that there's a quote, and I'm not sure who was the one who said it, but something about, and we're kind of paraphrase and say, organizing is like showering. You have to do it more than once a week.
Exactly. Well, some people need to do it every day.
Yes, exactly. And organizing could be done every day as well. I think it was Zig
exactly.
Ziglar, but I'm not sure.
I think you might be right.
Yeah.
But we'd have to look that up.
So do you have some action steps that our listeners can take now to implement your tips?
Well, I guess the main three things that I would like to leave the audience with about the things I've been saying are, the first thing would be to identify your goals and priorities and to keep them in mind when saying yes or no to requests. The second one would be to keep a master to-do list and choose only 3 to 5 things to do each day so you feel a sense of progress and accomplishment. And the third one would be to actually schedule time on your calendar for projects that you want to accomplish, including decluttering and organizing. So the time that you spend, you know, getting a space organized, if you spend part of that on a regular basis going forward, it will prevent it from getting to be the big mess that it was when we started.
Mm-hmm. So before we go on to the next topic, is there anything else that you'd like to say to our listeners that we haven't covered already?
I can't think of anything.
Okay.
Do you have any more questions?
No, but we can talk about your free offer for our listeners. Why don't you tell us about that?
That's a good idea. thanks. What I have to offer is my original clutter flowchart. Everyone who subscribes to my monthly newsletter, so all the listeners, if they subscribe to my monthly newsletter, which is called Org for Life News, and they can do that on my website, which is orgforlife.com, they will receive a free original clutter flowchart module. I used to offer just the clutter flowchart and the companion article, which is 2 pages. But now I offer the 11-page module, which is in PDF format, delivered to your inbox. And if you like that one, there are 14 more where it came from. If you really like it, you can get all 15 in one e-workbook. That's the one you mentioned earlier called Go With The Flow, the Clutter Clearing Toolkit for an Organized Life. Each module consists of a flowchart, a companion article, a worksheet, a resource list, and instructions for you. The idea is that you only need to print out one module at a time to work on it. Otherwise, it would be overwhelming. Although I do have a chart that tells you, that helps you figure out which chart to start with. So there's a chart. There's a chart for the chart, as well as the chart.
There's a chart for the charts.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the topics range from closet clutter and garage clutter to mental clutter and cash flow clutter. So there's like charts about stuff, charts about time, charts about, you know, how you feel about things. And there's also one about to-do list clutter. It starts with the idea that you need to be, have examined your goals and priorities. And of course, if you want help doing that, I offer a time management consultation. But from there, the chart helps you figure out new things that go on your list. Like if you have a request or an idea of something you want to do, you run it through the chart to see whether or not that's clutter or whether it's something you actually want to make time for in your schedule and actually do. And all of the modules are available individually. You can buy the e-workbook or you can buy the modules individually.
Mm-hmm.
But you get the first one, the original Clutter Flowchart module, for free if you sign up for my newsletter on my website.
I am going to have to hop over there and purchase one of these toolkits. So I also know you have a great ebook on time management, Hazel.
And I do. That came from when I was first on Facebook. I've had Time Tip Tuesday on my Facebook business page for some time. And the first year I was on Facebook, every Tuesday I posted a time tip. And these are things that are out of my head. These are not quotes or, you know, articles from other people. These are things that I've learned about time management. And so the reason it's called 52 Time Tips is because I did that. It's about time, but it consists of 52 time tips to help you gain control of your, I forget what it's called, your schedule and your time. And so it was once a week for a year that I captured these time tips and put them into a little ebook that is also for sale on my website.
Mm-hmm. And I would like to tell our listeners they can find all of this at your website, org4life.com. That's O-R-G, the number 4, life.com, for the ebook on time management, the clutter flow charts, and the clutter clearing toolkit, and lots of other really interesting information. So thank you so much, Hazel, for all your timely information. I'm sure our listeners can implement your tips right away to simplify their lives and go on over to your website and sign up for your newsletter. And thanks to our listeners for joining us today. I look forward to seeing you for our next conversation in the Declutter Your Life teleseminar series. I'm Maureen Torpy, the Declutter Coach. Till next time, let's get organized.